Noah, if you would, take your bulletin or a piece of paper like she's got. I was, I have to be honest with you, I didn't get the our slips in time. You know, most churches I've been to in the past, as long as you get it before the sermon starts, you're usually pretty good about getting those in the bulletin. But here, they're on top of everything, so it's really cool. But I missed that for Thursday morning. So if you would, somewhere on your bulletin or a piece of paper on your son's forehead, just put a... Robbie, let your mom do that. Put a number of paper, just 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. 1 through 5. We're going to have you fill that out for us in just a few minutes. Dave asked me to preach a couple weeks ago. And he said, but I'm going to be out of town. Would you mind filling in for me and preaching? And I was like, wait a second, what? Are you sure? He said, yeah, what are we going to do? And he said, we're going to do this series on I Have No Idea How To. And then last week we talked about I Have No Idea How To Manage My Money. So we talked about how to kind of better manage our money and make God smile through our budgeting process and being good stewards that way. And then he said, what I want you to preach on is I have no idea how to put others before myself. And I was like, well, that's simple. You know, I mean, that's all kinds of stuff we can go with that route, right? They got to thinking about it. How do you preach a sermon on selfishness to a church that has people going to the mission field, whose youth minister is going to the mission field with Paul there, and then also that within a year is giving so much to an orphanage that they named the orphanage after the church? So I was like, I know why he did this. He's going to be out of town. He wanted me to tackle this beast and this bear so he didn't have to. That's what it is. That's, don't even fool you on that. No, I'm just teasing there. But it really is an honor to be able to speak any time for God and to be able to get into His Word. So before we get started, would you please pray with me? Heavenly Father, God, we just love You again so much. And man, You're just everything. You're so big, You're so mighty, and You're so powerful, and You still love us, which is crazy. But it's so awesome, and it's so humbling, and the way You do take care of us, and the way You've been so humble and been the complete opposite of what we're going to talk about today and being selfish. God, I thank You for communion and everything You did to prepare that table for us, then also asking us to, you know, partake with You in that and be a part of that table and that invitation You have for us. It's just, again, it's amazing. But right now, Father, we're going to talk about selfishness. How can we put up before ourselves? And I just pray that You would use me to do Your thing and to speak Your word and not mine. I just want to be the translator here for You, but You just use me as Your vessel and have us hear what You want us to hear and see what You want us to see so we can be the people You want us to be. Lord, again, we love You. It's in Jesus' name that we pray and that we are here and with all the power that comes with that name. Amen. All right, so the text that Dave gave me was Proverbs 18:1, and this is what it says. It says, an unfriendly man pursues selfish ends. He defies all sound judgment. So he's pretty much saying, a selfish man is not a smart man. That's what he's saying. He doesn't know how to do, you know, horrible judgment. And so first, before we can talk about anything, we got to talk about, well, what is selfishness? And if you look around this world, I mean, really, do you not see selfishness everywhere? Does anybody travel a news circle on the way to work? Anybody else? Anybody? Three of us? Excellent. Well, blessings to you guys. That's what that is. Because if you're on news circle during rush hour at any point in time, or just in traffic anytime, really, are people not selfish? They don't care about you. They don't care about the person around them. All they care about is themselves getting from point A to point B as fast as they possibly can. If it causes a wreck, well, that's just a casualty. That's, you know, whatever. We just go with it. So in traffic, we have selfishness. Look at the economy, really. I mean, the whole economy is tanked in 2008 because of what? Greed and selfishness. You got gas prices go up to over $4 a gallon. If I remember correctly, back around that time, and someone correct me if I'm wrong here, but they were having record numbers coming in for money for these oil companies, like billions of dollars a month, more money than they would ever be able to spend in a lifetime in any business, form, or fashion. It's crazy money. And yet, the more money that we get, the more money they get, the more money they want. You know what I mean? And so, and that's really what caused everything. And because gas goes up, everything goes up. Everything else does, right? And so, because the businessmen, they're not going to take a loss. They're just going to make the price for everything else. You know, it's a very simple process with us there on that. But you have the economy. At work, I had a job interview this last week, and I'm in sales. And so in this interview, the guy's like, well, Ben, I understand that you've been in ministry. And I want you to have a clear understanding of what we do here. And you have black and white, but in sales, you also have this gray area. And we live within that gray area. How do you feel about that? And I was like, well, there's integrity and ethics in business and sales too, right? He said, well, yeah. And so that's where I live. I'm going to do my best, but I'm also going to be a man of integrity in what you've asked me to be, and also have good ethics, which represents the company well. And he was like, well, that's a good answer. But really, and I got the job too, by the way. But anyway, I'm just kidding. But really, in sales and everything, man, I mean, ethics in business is a rare thing. Now, I hate to say that it's non-existent, because there are a lot of good Christian men and women that are in business that they have good ethics. He's like, yes, sir. And so kudos to that, because that's a rare thing, it seems like, anymore, on the service anyway. So greed, all that good stuff, is selfish. And then also, and this is going to be one that hits a little more home to us. With Christians and people in general, people do things for self-gratification. And we think, being Christians in church, well, yeah, we don't really do that too much. Everybody else does. But I want to bring this home for you. And we give as Christians a lot. This church gives. But sometimes we give selfishly. And let me explain how that works. I got a story for myself. Jamaica, my wife here, was an 8th grade middle school teacher in Morgan County, West Liberty, Kentucky. And she had a student. His name was Ben, of course, a really cool guy. And he was about my height, big kid, comes from a poor family. He only had a limited amount of clothes, and so he kept wearing the same clothes over. And, you know, junior high, they're cruel. And if you do that, wear the same shirt, you know, twice in 1 week, it's like, oh my goodness, you're horrible. And but he didn't have anything. It got to be winter. He had short sleeves and jeans, and he comes to school off freezing and cold and everything. And we were talking about it one day, and we went to the mall and found a coat for sale. You get a real nice coat. What was it, less than half off, almost 75% off, something like that. We got a ridiculous deal on it. Kentucky Blue, can you beat that? No. It's great. So I bought it, and I was like, well, what I'll do is I'll buy this and then give Ben my coat. And that way he can have a coat, and we feel good about myself, right? Well, I got thinking about this sermon here and thinking about that story, and I thought, man, how stupid can I be? Because Jesus tells us that whatever we do for the least of these brothers of mine, we do for who? Him. Whatever we do for the least of these brothers of mine, we do for Jesus. So I gave Jesus my sloppy seconds. I gave Jesus, my Savior, the man who gave his entire being to me, I gave him my hand-me-downs. And I thought, wow. Here I thought, so I did something well, good, did something well, I felt good about it. And even in my giving, I was selfish. We give to missions, we give to the orphanage, we give to the church. But are we being selfish givers? Are you seriously taking the 10% off the top of your check and giving that to God? Or are you paying your bills and then giving, if you have that 10% left, doing that? Or even with the orphanage, or to missions, or to anything else? See, we're even selfish sometimes in our giving. And we're going to talk about the consequences of that here soon as well. Also, and I gotta say this, as a former youth minister and dealing with kids my entire life, I've got to throw this out there. We are raising selfish children as well. Don't do that. And let me kind of explain this out to you a little bit. In America, we have kid-focused families. That's not how it's supposed to be. Everything revolves around the kids, and what that breeds is selfish kids, because they think that everything revolves around them. That's not at all how God designed it to be. It's supposed to be parent, revolve around the parents first. In my house, when I grew up, there was two things you did that would set my dad off. And I completely understand. We're going to talk about the wrath of God here in a moment as well. But I understand the wrath of God because of my dad. If you want to tick him off, you do two things. One, you lie to him. He will bust you in the teeth. Not really. That's child abuse. He doesn't do that. But he will jerk a knot in your tail faster than you can get to lie out your mouth. And he had this uncanny ability to know when he was lying. The second thing is disrespect my mother. Oh, my goodness. The house roof would blow off, and It's crazy. And I'll give you a for instance here. This is a funny story. My brother's not here, so I can tell him this. We were sitting in the living room one time, and I was on the couch. Seth is sitting over here in the recliner. We're watching TV. I'm over here on the couch watching TV with him. And my mom says, "Seth, go clean your room." He's over here. He says, "You go clean it." And we heard going like this. He said that, I went. And then all of a sudden you hear this right here. No joke, from out the back room, you hear this. It was my dad. I sat over here with terror on my face, trying not to breathe because I didn't want to draw any attention to myself whatsoever. I wanted to leave, but I didn't want him to look at me when I left because I'd fall dead as soon as he did. And I just sat there. I didn't look over. I was like looking out the corner of my eye. Oh, it was scary. And my dad walked up to my brother. Now, I must tell you, I hope I don't offend anybody by saying this, but he had puberty like in second grade. So he was a big kid growing up. And so he's sitting there climbing. My dad walked up and grabbed him by the collar of his shirt and with one arm picked him dead up out of that chair and said, "Don't you ever talk to your mother like that. Go clean your room." And dropped him. He went and cleaned his room. So, but so in my house, we understood how it worked. If there's only one piece of meat, one piece of bread or whatever, and mom was hungry, that's what she gets it. Boys, go eat some grass, do whatever you want, but mom's going to eat. That's how it is. This is how it's going to be. We understood that. So my house, it wasn't sitting around us. We didn't have a chance to be selfish in our house because dad, mom, anyway, the belt, I'm telling you, I still sweat hearing that. But anyway, that's a whole other sermon for a whole other day. But anyway, my point is, don't raise selfish kids. That doesn't make God happy either. That doesn't make him smile at us. You know what I mean? So we talk about selfish, and the world's revolved around selfish. But what if we as a church would be more like the early church? Let's take a look at that. Turn to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, verse 46. I'm sorry, verse 42. All right, it says this. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common, selling their possessions and goods they gave to anyone who was in need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor with all the people. And then notice this, and the Lord added to their number daily those who were saved. Now, just a few things that jump out at me on this. First off, is their deep relationship. The church, in the early church, they loved each other, man. They were committed to each other. They had the relationships with each other that were strong, bonded there. Because they had a common goal. Now, anybody like to golf in here? Anybody golfers? All right, so we can be friends. The rest of you? Not at all. Because we don't have everything in common. So, Alan, get up. No, I'm kidding. No, it's not like that. What it is they had the common goal. They had the common mindset, the focus of making God smile first and doing what he wanted them to do first. So that it's all about pleasing God. And the way they play golf is they said, "Hey, Alan, you want to play golf?" "No? Okay, great. You want to play golf?" "Okay, yeah, you can. Let's go play golf." And they worked with each other like that. But everything was focused around God, making him happy. And then everything comes from there. With the church here, and then also with that being said, they loved each other and they were strong with one another. They knew each other's needs. You know, I mean, look in the room here. If I asked you what the needs of the person sitting next to you, would you know that? Well, my mother-in-law would because she's sitting next to my wife. She would know that. But what about everybody else? Would you know the needs of the neighbor next to you? I mean, this is something to think about, right? Because if we want to be like the early church, because looks like the result of what happened because they were like that. People want to be a part of that. People want to be a part. We're made for certain things. And being loved and being part of a group that's loving and so we can love back, that's how we're designed. That's how where we find our full joy and happiness. And that's what the church was first. And then because of that, they changed the culture around them. And if we look at our culture today, that would be a good measuring stick to see what kind of job we've done. And, I mean, I'm just saying, we can always do better, right? And it starts with us first. It starts with us first. Look at Jesus. He loved people first, and then he ministered to them, right? But first thing was, he loved them. He didn't go to Zacchaeus and say, Zacchaeus, get down here. Let me tell you something. You have got to give all that money back, or you're going to go to hell. He didn't say that. He's like, hey, listen, let's go hang out. Let me come to your house. Let's go hang out. Let me love on you a little bit. Let's eat together. Let's have a good time. And then let me tell you about my Father. You got to have him. If you want to have fulfillment in this world, you got to have him. He's great. He's awesome. And he's just what he's done. It's what he's doing. And then we do that. Then we get to do that thing. And we get to get him in a part of being a part of God and being a part of us and showing him all the awesome things that Jesus is. Look at, I got a few verses here. Romans 2:8. I'm going to read this to you real quick because I went over it last time. Well, I'll tell you what. We ain't got nobody coming in after us this time, do we? Psh, time. What is that? We're going to be here till dark. We're going to have a Haiti church. All right, going till dark. No, Romans chapter 2, verse 8, it says, but for those who are self-seeking and who reject the truth and follow evil, there will be wrath and anger. Wait a minute. We talking about selfishness? We don't think about selfishness as being something to bring upon God's wrath and anger. We think about homosexuality. We think about adultery. We think about greed. We think about all this other stuff, you know, murders and all this, you know, robbing people and building bombs. So stupid. I don't understand what people think. But and all this mess. We think about that, but we don't think about having selfish ambition, being selfish. This brings on the wrath of God. There's some dire consequences. In 2 Thessalonians, Paul talks to the church pretty harshly about the consequences of being selfish. We got another verse here. Galatians chapter 5. Don't read this one. This is talking about selfish ambition. You will not inherit the kingdom of heaven. And then also in Galatians, he lumps selfish ambition in with sexually immoral, with idolaters, and with witchcraft. And then I do want you to look this one up. James chapter 3. Verse 13. James 3:13. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show it by his good life, by deeds done in humility that comes from wisdom. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition, in your hearts do not boast about it and deny the truth. Such wisdom, quote unquote, does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, and of the devil. And that's powerful words. Don't take that light. When God's saying that comes from the devil, that comes from Satan, he's not saying, oh, you devilish person, you. No, he's got some feeling behind that. He's got some behind it. You know what I mean? It comes from the devil. I mean, he's got some harsh words. And we could be here for an hour or two talking about scriptures of the consequence of being selfish. But on your paper, I had your list 1 through 5. Right? Everybody did that. I know you did. So let's write these down. I'm going to give you a cure of how to care about others before yourself. The first thing, there's 5 things. The first thing is you got to pray. You got to pray. And what are you going to pray about? Well, you're just going to pray about this. First off, you're going to ask for God's heart. Because you got to have God's heart. If we're going to be a part of God, we're going to be with God, we got to know what he wants us to be. We got to have his heart. And the second thing is you got to start building that relationship with God. First and foremost, before anything else, you got to build that relationship with God. Now, my wife is here. I talked a lot about her in the first service, so I'm not going to do that right now. I don't get myself in trouble. But my wife and I, if I didn't talk to her, except for when we're talking about money problems or we're talking about kid problems or something like that, we would not have a good relationship, right? She would beat me senseless. Not really. Maybe. But the point is, in our relationship with our spouse or with anybody, really, we've got to spend time with them. We've got to talk with them. And it's the same thing with God. I mean, you've got to spend time with him. You've got to talk to him to build that relationship. And that's when he gives you that heart to do what he wants you to do. So this is not rocket science. This is all simple stuff that we've all heard before. But sometimes we need to be reminded of simple things. So first off, you got to pray. The second thing, you got to pray. Second thing is give. You got to give. It's amazing how it works. Your money follows your heart, and your heart follows your money. It's amazing how that works. So selfishness is a habit. Selfishness is a habit. You can break that habit, do these steps, and you'll break that. You got to pray and give because, like I said, your money follows your heart, and your heart follows your money. So just make yourself give. Give to others, give to the church, give to these missions. Just make yourself give and watch. Your heart will follow. I promise. It will follow. One thing about Jesus, too, is give to God. God doesn't need our stuff, right? God doesn't need us to give these girls money. He sent them. We didn't send them. He's sending them. He's going to take care of them. There's no doubt about that. And when we give, though, we're doing something. We're putting Him first, right? We're putting Him first, and we put others second. We put ourselves third, and what does that spell? Joy. Jesus, others, and yourself. I mean, He makes us for a certain specific reason, and certain things fill us, and He's designed us to be this way. So if we do this and give, it'll help us find that true joy. The third thing, so we have pray, give. The third thing, attitude and love. Perspective. Perspective is everything. And one thing we've talked about a lot in the youth group is the first week we met this semester, we talked about how God made us and saw that we are good. Think about that. God made you and saw that you are good. That's powerful. The Almighty, the being, the one that created everything, made me and saw that I was good. Not only that, He made Rhea and saw that she is good. And He made you and saw that you are good. He made the people I don't like, the people that have done wrong to me and my family. He made them and saw that they are good. And if God had made me and saw that I'm good, He made them and saw they're good, how does that change my perception of them, my perspective of them? If I'm trying to make God happy and have this relationship with Him and I have His heart, how do I look at those people that do wrong to me? I look past that because they're good too. And therefore, I don't tend to be as selfish with them. You see where I'm going with that? God made those people too and saw that they're good. The guys who did these bombings in Boston, horrible, horrible. You just want to punch them in the face, your initial thought. You know what I mean? I was so angry that day that it all came out. I was like, what are you thinking? How do you do that? 8-year-old kid died. What are you thinking? And I saw the picture of the little boy and him leaving that bag behind right there with the boy right there, you know? It made me angry. And I forget that God made them too and saw they're good. And I seriously pray that one guy don't get a chance because he's dead, but the other guy that captured him alive, I pray that somebody can get to him and show him the love of Jesus, because it's not too late for him either. And that's hard to say after we've been hurt so deep. But God loves him, and He saw that he's good too. The fourth thing. So you have pray, give, attitude, and love. The fourth thing is focus on the prize. Focus on the prize. This is one thing as Christian I think we overlook all the time. How often during the day do you actually think about heaven? Think about it. What's heaven? That's a whole other sermon. I can go for days on that. I get pretty psyched up about thinking about heaven because heaven is going to be awesome. And I get all these thoughts in my head about how cool heaven's going to be and all this stuff's going to be in there. And then my granddad's going to be there. My uncle's going to be there. And my Aunt Mary's going to be there. And it's going to be great. And you think about all this stuff and then just knowing that God's going to make it even better than that. That's crazy. That's exciting. If that don't get you excited, come talk to me after here. I'll slap you around a little bit. We can knock this, you know, Bible thumper. That's what we'll be. No, I'm just teasing. But think about heaven, man, because that's our prize. Paul talks a lot in the Bible about working as if you're getting to get your prize, right? Super Bowl players or football players, they're always working for that Super Bowl. Right now, their season hasn't even started yet. They're fixing to do the draft this week, but they're doing the draft to get people or in their team to help them do what? Get to the Super Bowl. That's what they're wanting to do. They have that prize in full focus, and we forget that a lot of times. We start playing our game through the life and even think about our goals. Our goal is to get to heaven and be with Jesus. That's where it's at. This life is temporary. Remember that. Think about that every day. When you take up your cross, when you get out of the morning, every morning, get up every morning, put on your cross to go do your day, think about heaven, how cool it's going to be. That's going to help you be more consistent in your life. It's going to help you not be selfish as well, because as we've done learned, if you're selfish, there's some pretty harsh consequences. The fifth thing, so we have pray, give, attitude and love, focus on the prize. The fifth thing, write this down. Everybody say it with me, say fish face. Say it again, fish face. There you go. Now what is fish face? That's kind of silly. Well, the youth group, we have these bracelets we've been wearing. Wait, you gotta give me one. Here you go. Well, I'm thinking about it. She missed that week. But we have these bracelets called fish face on them. And the idea is to show Jesus through your face. So be a Christian is what it is. Be Christ-like. Was Jesus selfish? Yeah, sure. When he was on that cross, like that picture back there, bleeding from everywhere, that was pretty selfish of him, wasn't it? He was thinking of me the whole time. He did that so I could have a chance to come be with his dad. That's selfish. Not in the least bit. Not in the least bit. Be Christ-like. Philippians chapter 2 talks about being imitators of Christ. It says this in verse 5. It says, your attitude should be the same of that of Jesus Christ, who in very nature, or in being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but he made himself nothing, taking the true and very nature of a servant, being made a human likeness, being a servant. The King of Kings made himself nothing to be a servant. And so the five things, again, what are they? Pray, give, attitude and love, focus on the prize, and being fish-faced. Just be Christ-like, man. Just be Christ-like. And that's it. If you can make yourself do those things, you will break the bad habits of being selfish. And the last thing I want to leave you with here. This is going to be a measuring stick. Are you selfish? Let me throw this measuring tool, this ruler up here for you so you can see where you're at on this. Last week, John, JK, he told us about a message from India, from the Catalyst Orphanage. You guys remember him talking about that? This hit a chord with me. Because I was thinking about this selfishness stuff, and he said that the kids are up till 4 a.m. praying for us. These kids don't know who we are. They don't know us. And not only were they praying, they were in tears. Man, talk about humbling. These little kids, fresh in their faith, they love God so much, and they just want God to just bless us so bad they're crying about it. A lot of us have been Christians for years, and we're supposed to be growing in our faith. When was the last time that you prayed for somebody and wept because of their salvation? When was the last time you cared so deeply about someone else that you cried for them? These kids did that for us last weekend. They might have done it, they probably did it for this last night. When was the last time you cried for somebody because of their faith? Now, this stuff today is not, it's not deep. It's not rocket science. It's simple stuff. But I think it's stuff that we tend to get so involved with this world that we forget about. So the five things, if you think that you're selfish, if you've measured on this bar over here with these kids, and you say, man, I ain't never cried for anybody because of their salvation. Start praying that God would give you his heart. Start giving. So your heart will follow your money. Start trying to have a better attitude and loving people. And then think about heaven and just be fish face. Be Christ-like, man. That's all it is. So with that, I want to pray with you. And then we're going to have a little video I want you to watch here. Heavenly Father, again, we just love you. Can't say that enough. Some words so simple that we've really just taken the whole meaning out of, I think, sometimes, that we say so often. But really, everything that